This is Tom Warren, inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. Last time we were considering the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the 16th chapter of Mark and verse 16. And I urge you to get your Bible and read it with me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And I had already explained this verse in our English versions. And I wanted to show, simply as a conclusive matter, what this passage is in the original Greek of the New Testament. Of course, you will understand that Mark, guided by the Holy Spirit, wrote his book in Greek. Now, believeth and be baptized, both are what we call in Greek aorist participles. Now, the function of an aorist participle, among other things, is to indicate action that comes either before or simultaneously with the action of the main verb. They never indicate action which follows the action of the main verb. And even scholars who are members of religious communions who hold that one is saved before and without being baptized recognize this truth in the Greek language. Now that would mean that neither belief nor being baptized could follow the action of the main verb, which in this passage is, shall be saved. So let's think for a moment about the significance of this statement. It might well have been translated in this fashion: he who, having believed and having been baptized, shall be saved. As a matter of fact, if Jesus had wanted to say, as some people teach, he that believeth shall be saved and may then be baptized, he would not even have had to change the word order in the Greek Testament. All he would have had to have done was to have left belief as an aorist participle and made be baptized a future participle. The significance of the future participle is that it follows the action of the main verb. And therefore, the passage would have read, he who believing and therefore being saved should then be baptized. But that is not what the Savior said. He said, he who having believed and having been baptized shall be saved, and makes it clear, because of the aorist participle, that neither belief nor baptism can come after salvation, but must come before. And so when Jesus made the statement, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned, he is making clear that not only is faith in him as the Son of God essential to salvation, but also the act of obedience of being immersed in water is essential to one's being saved by the blood of Christ. Let me make clear at this point that one is not saved by water. Water does not have the power to wash away sin. Only the blood of Christ does that. But just as in the case of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5 in the Old Testament, had to dip in the River Jordan 7 times before his flesh would be cleansed of the horrible disease of leprosy which he had, yet he was not cleansed by water. The power to cleanse from leprosy is not in water. That power was the power of God. But note carefully that God's power was not used to cleanse him from his leprosy until he had enough faith to obey the instructions which the Lord had given in connection with his receiving that blessing of the cleansing from his leprosy. And that instruction included his going to the River Jordan and dipping 7 times. Just so today, when the Bible instructs us as penitent believers to be baptized for remission of sins, we must understand that we're not saved by the water, but we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us that we have redemption through his blood. Romans 5, 8 and 9 tells us we're justified through his blood. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 tells us that the church is purchased by his blood. And so there is no power at all in water to save. But the Lord will not use the power of his blood to save us from sin until, in faith and penitence, we obey him by being buried in the watery grave, which is baptism. While we deserve the grave of fire, by being baptized in water, we are saved by the grace of God.